Good evening. Welcome to 30 Letters in 30 Days. Class number, what is tonight? Letter number 17. And again, go to 30letters30days.com to download your PDF. And I have good news for you. We are working on getting you a actual physical booklet like we had last year. It may not be ready until after the course is done, but if you want to have a keepsake, a memento, a way of going back to these letters and studying them again and again, that will be possible, God willing. Okay. Tonight's letter. Let's just jump right in. Baruch Hashem, Yutes, Adar Sheni, Tov Shin Yutes, Brooklyn, Shalom Avracha. The Rebbe is writing to a man, by the grace of God, the 19th of the second month of Adar, 5719, that's the spring of 1959. Brooklyn, greetings and blessings. B'mayne l'michtove, in response to your letter, Miyud Zayin Adar Rishoin, from over a month earlier, it only now arrived here. It only now reached me. Bekoshes bracha pan bekasher imatzav briuse. You ask for a blessing in the format known as a pan. Pan is an acronym, peinun pidyon nefesh, a soul redemption. Well, we've spoken about a pan before, earlier. It's a specific type of letter that a chassid writes to a rebbe requesting blessings. It's a specific type of correspondence, and it has a very specific formula where one requests blessings, and it is usually properly accompanied by some monetary There needs to be a gift of tzedakah. There needs to be a monetary component with the pawn. Sort of the way I've heard it described metaphorically is like putting a stamp on the envelope. So that's what a pawn is. And the Rebbe would receive these petitions for prayer and bring them to the oil, the resting place of his father-in-law. That's what the Rebbe would do with a pan. That's what he would explicitly say. In fact, he's going to say this right now. Be'es rotzen yiskiruhu ala tziyan ha-kodesh shal kved kedushas meir v'chomi admor zecher tzadik v'kodesh levrocha l'chai le'ilam haba nishmasi begin zei mireimim zechus ha-yogin aleinu l'mitztorech lei masal m'teichin k'save. So at a propitious time, I'm going to mention you at the resting place of my father-in-law for everything that you need. All right. So the guy wrote, all we know so far is he wrote about his health situation. That's what the Rebbe referred to. The guy asked for blessings regarding his health situation. What is his specific health situation? We don't know yet. We're going to find out pretty specifically, but we don't know yet. Let's see what the Rebbe tells him. Miachar sheyesh lechelek b'inyanei beis haknesis. You have because you have a role in a shul. Now, I'm going to make some guesses here. I'm going to guess this guy's not the rabbi. I think if he were the rabbi would have said that very clearly, because you are a leader of a congregation, and we know that no leadership position is by accident, and that even the guardian of a well is appointed from heaven. You know, the Rebbe brings that Maimer Chazal quite often. So the fact that the Rebbe says you're involved in a shul, I'm assuming that he's not the rabbi. I'm assuming he's not even like the big money guy, because I feel like the Rebbe would have said explicitly something about that as well, about supporting the shul. It sounds like he's just involved in a shul. Maybe he's just one of the more vocal members. Maybe he has some type of unofficial capacity. Or maybe it's an official capacity. I don't know. But the Rebbe says you're involved in a shul. Another thing I would guess is that the guy probably mentioned it to the Rebbe. maybe he mentioned it in passing. Maybe it wasn't really the main point of his letter. Maybe the main point was about his health problem. But the Rebbe is taking that piece of information and building on it. So the Rebbe says, because you're involved in a shul, ubedere seno, interesting, the Rebbe says, in our generation, bedere seno ele, in these generations, beis ha-knesses, a shul, harehu gam beis ha-medrash, is also a study hall. In halacha, there's a distinction made between a beis knesses and a beis medrash. Beis knesses means the place of gathering, which is literally a synagogue in Greek. A place for gathering together. And that's for davening. Then there's a beis medrash, which is a place for learning. Interestingly, Kedushas beis medrash is greater than a Kedushas beis knesses. Place where you study Torah is even holier than the already high holiness of place where you daven. So the Rebbe says, in our generation, shuls pretty much are the study halls. And it's an interesting observation. Yeah, there are some exceptions to that, but usually, you know, I guess yeshiva bachram, they daven where they learn. But most people learn where they daven. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's your shul, and then you happen to learn there as well. So the Rebbe says, in our day and age, most shuls are the place where people learn as well. And this means specifically the idea of studying Torah in groups. What does it mean, limudei Torah berabim? Studying in groups. Somebody's posting in the chat, in the YouTube chat, the Greek for synagogue. Yeah. We can do more etymology if you want as well. Let me see if I can find something that comes up in the flow of things. So you have so much fun live. If you join live, you get to interact like this. Anyone else want to say anything in the YouTube chat? I'll check it intermittently. Okay. Or you could always email me. I won't be able to interact with you in real time. But if you have feedback, questions, comments, you could email me at rabbi@soulwords.org. And I will try to get back to you. Okay. So, limud ha-Torah b'rabim means specifically Torah study that is done in groups, and it has a special advantage. Torah study obviously is very powerful, and it brings great blessings to those who study the Torah, but there is an exponentially greater advantage to limud ha-Torah b'rabim, as explained in many places in Chassidus, specifically the advantage of learning in a large group, and even a minyan, even though we normally think of a minyan as being something that's a function of communal prayer, and we don't necessarily think about needing a minyan for a Torah class, there's definitely a special hashras hashchina, a special indwelling of the divine presence that occurs when we study Torah in large groups, specifically in a minyan or larger. Move and vegan poshet, so it is understood and obvious. The more that you put forth an effort to improve the awe of heaven and the study of Torah in the shul, the merit of the many will help you. It's going to add to your blessings from Hashem, including in the matter of health, which is what the guy wrote about. He wrote about his health. So the Rebbe says, oh, I got a perfect thing that'll help your health. It's good for everything. It brings down blessings in general, but including health. You're involved in a shul, so you should really be involved in limud ha-Torah b'rabim. That's going to be good for you. Okay. V'kevan asher etzel ish v'isha ha-yisraelim harei ha-gashmios v'haruchnios yachad yahalechu. Now, because for a Jewish man and woman, I don't think people realize how unusual the Rebbe's choice of words truly is. The way that Hebrew works, you can just use the masculine and it includes everybody. The fact that the Rebbe says ish ve'isha is not typical rabbinic idiom. It is really a unique innovation of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe does it often. Kol echod va'achas. That one's really, it sticks out. And I have to tell you, to people who aren't used to the Rebbe's speech patterns, it's actually jarring. I don't think you hear most rabbis use that expression. Each kol echod va'achas, right? Every individual, everyone, but the Rebbe will use the masculine and the feminine form. So the Rebbe's writing to a man here, doesn't even have to mention women. Why? Who brought up women? Who's talking about women, right? But the Rebbe says the man or the woman of Israel, Jewish man or woman, their materiality and their spirituality go together. This is also a huge concept in the Rebbe's worldview, that Gashmias and Ruchnias, it's interesting that Rebbe wrote Gashmias first, the physicality and the spirituality go together. If I had to make a list of top five recurring themes in the Rebbe's teachings, this would for sure be on the top five list. The idea that spirituality and materiality go together, that there's never a conflict. We've spoken about this before, that it's not like a good Jew is going to be forced to forego success in this world in order to fulfill God's will. That doesn't even make sense in the Rebbe's worldview, because the same God who gave us the Torah is the same God who made the world. So he didn't make a world that is antithetical to his Torah, Chas v'Shalom. He made a world as a form within which for his Torah to be manifest on the most objective level. Therefore, when you follow Hashem's will, that itself will bring success in the world. So, yeah, physicality and spirituality go together. Yechelim lifel al brios haguf. So therefore, and this is a really wild idea, you're able to have an effect on the health of your body al yedei chizuk bebrios haneshama, strengthening the health of your soul. Now, I just want to bavoren, as we say, I want to make a disclaimer and preclude the notion that the Rebbe will respond to people's health issues with purely spiritual instructions. Anyone who's read a good number of Igros, I don't even think you'd have to read more than half a volume, you would pick up on the pattern that the Rebbe tells people, speak to your doctor, follow your doctor's advice, seek natural means, natural meaning non-miraculous. I don't mean natural like, herbs, although why not? But I mean natural like bederech hateva, non-miraculous means for your healing. So the Rebbe definitely is into the idea of Rishus nitna l'reif l'rapes, as our sages say. The healer was given permission to heal. And that the way that Hashem's healing comes in the world is through a natural vessel. So I just want you to know that. That's the disclaimer here. In this particular case, we don't see that I've been mentioning any conventional measures that the person's supposed to take for his healing. And perhaps, we don't know this, but perhaps in his letter, the person already told the Rebbe that he is seeing a physician. And so that part of it is covered. Or not. I don't know. This is only conjecture right now. But in this letter, the Rebbe tells him, look, the way that a Jewish person's life works is the spiritual and the material go together. So you can have an effect on the material through the spiritual. You want to improve your body's health, improve your soul's health. Ubefrat b'mitzvos, especially, how should you improve your soul's health? Through the performance of mitzvos. Okay, any mitzvah? Let's find out. There's a concept that the 248 positive commandments, obviously there are a lot more do's than just 248 and a lot more don'ts than the 365, but we're talking about biblical commandments, actual biblical commandments. And then there are rabbinic offshoots and various almost innumerable, literally innumerable halachas, because Teresh Shabbal Peh is still evolving, actually. So there are unlimited halachas that grow forth from the 613 commandments. But at any rate, there are 248 positive, 248 do's, and 365 don'ts. Our sages say the 248 do's correspond to the 248 limbs of the body. Yes, there are 248 limbs of the body. We mentioned that in the Mishaberech prayer, and when we say that healing should be sent from on high to the 248 limbs of the person who is in need of healing. So the mitzvahs correspond to the 248 limbs of the body. Movement, so it's understood, she michush bereglayim, that a pain in the feet, hatikun beruchnis shalai hu binyan itzdaka. The spiritual remedy for a pain in the feet is tzedakah. It's moving. At least the Rebbe didn't say moving v'gam pashet. Moving is more like, you know, there's chukim mishpatim and edis. This is more like, you know, after I tell you, you could it'll make sense to you. Like, I know I don't expect you to figure it out on your own. But yeah, what mitzvah corresponds to the feet? And what mitzvah can you improve in, which will be a spiritual way of improving your physical feet? Tzedakah. Why tzedakah? Sharei hu hayikum asher beraglay. Tzedakah is referred to as standing someone on their feet. When you give tzedakah, what do? You save somebody from becoming destitute. You give them a chance to make a comeback and hopefully to become a breadwinner, to actually earn money. You don't want to see anybody become destitute to the point where they can't come back from that. Our sages say it's like a donkey that's being crushed under its load, which is also another mitzvah, by the way, that if you see that its knees are buckling, if people come and they save it and they help to shift the load or lighten the load, it's much easier than if the donkey already has buckled under the load. If he already is crouching and he's down, it's very hard to lift him again. So tzedakah is called putting someone on their feet. And that's really what tzedakah is about in Yiddishkeit. It's about restoring someone's dignity so that they can be self-sufficient again. And so the Rebbe says, Kedivrei Razal, like the saying of our sages. And that is Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, where that idiom derives from. So if you want to strengthen your body, you can do it through spiritual means. Specifically, if you want to strengthen your feet, you can do it through tzedakah, because tzedakah is called standing someone on their feet. Okay. V'yeid, and furthermore, v'hua ikar, and this is the main thing. So you ain't seen nothing yet, because what we're about to hear is the real main thing. Binyani amuna. Inyani amuna. I don't think this is a separate thing. I think it's a related thing. And I think that because, for many reasons, but also because I've seen the Rebbe say this in other places, that there's material tzedakah and there's spiritual tzedakah. And spiritual tzedakah is to help people get closer to Hashem. So I think this is related. I think the Rebbe may be telling him not only to give tzedakah, but to help others with their emunah, which would then automatically include also strengthening his own emunah. At any rate, so now the Rebbe starts to speak about emunah. Shehi, that emunah is, hamamido es kol ha'odam, that which stands up the entire person. You follow what the Rebbe is saying? Tzedakah corresponds to the feet, because tzedakah is called standing someone on their feet. Yukum mashe beragloi. Amunah is also related to feet, because amunah is called that which the person stands on, like you stand on your feet. Upsak din razal, and like our sages rule, and it's very interesting that Rebbe calls it a psak din. Not a mimer chazal, but a psak, meaning it has halachic ramifications. What is the psak din razal? Bo chavakuk, the prophet Chavakuk came along, vamidun al achas, and stood them up on one. What's this talking about? It says that Hashem gave 613 commandments to the Jewish people. And Chavakuk came and he simplified it. And he said, I got one mitzvah for you, that if you have this one, then you're going to have all 613. So he made it simple. Debt consolidation. One, he rolled it all into one easy monthly payment. But it's called standing it up. That's why the Rebbe's relating it to the feet here. So Chavakuk came and he stood the entire Torah on one mitzvah, shenemar, like it says, where? In the book of Chavakuk. Like it says, v'tzadik b'munose yichye. The tzadik, the righteous person, lives by his faith. So Chavakuk said, if you have emunah, if you have emunah, if you have faith, then you have everything. Oh, but it says, tzadik b'munose yichye. Yeah, v'amich kulam tzadikim. The Rebbe loves to add that one. And when it says tzaddik, it's talking about all of us. We're all the tzaddik. And I want to mention, by the way, that today is Chav Zayin Adar, which was the day in Tavshin Nun Beis, 1992, that the Rebbe suffered a stroke. And the Rebbe did not speak publicly again after that. The day before, meaning Sunday, Chav Vav Adar, was a Sunday dollars, and it was to be the last dollars. And there was a man named Gabriel Aram, a philanthropist from Toronto, originally from Hungary, who was the publisher of Lifestyles magazine, which is an executive magazine, not a Jewish magazine. It's a magazine for wealthy people. And quite out of character for the type of magazine that it was, he decided that in honor of the Rebbe's upcoming 90th birthday, right, because we said this was the 26th of Adar, Tavshin Nun Beis, the spring of 92, so on Yud Alef Nissen Nun Beis, Rebbe turned 90. So in honor of the Rebbe's upcoming 90th birthday, which would just be 15 days later, Well, you all know that we're doing 30 letters, 30 days as a preparation for Yudof Nissen. So I'm telling you something that happened. It was the same Kvias, by the way. Chav Zayin Adar was a Monday, and Chav Vav the day before was a Sunday, and there were Sunday dollars. So we're talking about yesterday. I'm talking about exactly yesterday, in 1992. So Gabriel Aram came to the Rebbe in the dollar line and said that he's writing a magazine article about the Rebbe in honor of his 90th birthday. That wants to know what's the Rebbe's message. The video is to be found online. You could easily find it. And the Rebbe is speaking in English. So the Rebbe says, what's his message for the world? He says, 90, the Rebbe was turning 90, is tzaddik in Hebrew. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a numerical value. So the lesson is that every Jew can be a tzaddik. You hear that? Here, this magazine publisher is telling the Rebbe, we want to write a whole article about the Rebbe. What does the Rebbe do, which is so typical of the Rebbe? He flips it on the guy and says, don't make it about me. Make it about all of you. It's about you. you want to look at me and be in awe of me? No, I'm going to flip this and put it on you. You do something awesome. You're the tzaddik. By the way, Gabriel Aram asked the Rebbe, because it wasn't a Jewish magazine, so he said, well, then what's the Rebbe's message for the non-Jewish world? The Rebbe did not hesitate even a half a second. The Rebbe said, same thing. Through the seven Noahide laws, every human being can be a tzaddik. There's such a term, tzaddikei umas ha'olam, the righteous of the nations. So the Rebbe saw the entire humanity as tzaddikim. Just thought I would add that at this juncture. So Habakkuk said that tzaddik b'menasa yichya, the main thing for the tzaddik is his amuna, is his faith. V'amech kulam tzaddikim. That's not from Habakkuk. That's from another Navi, but it'll also help. Add it to the combination over here. And we basically emerge with the formula that the key to everybody's spiritual service is amunah, and once you have the amunah, once you have the faith, then you have everything else. So that's why it's called the feet. That's why amunah is called the feet. All right. Va'af shekol Yisrael ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. This is a very interesting part of the letter. Now, all Jewish people are called believers, the descendants of believers. In other words, it is inherent, it is innate in your very essence to be a believer. So although that is true, haray amunas bnei Yisrael tzrich aliyes dafke be'efin shtashpia al mahalich machshavte b'meshach kol hayom. The faith that a Jew has to be one specifically that affects his line of thinking all day long. A little explanations in order. Chassidus explains often that emunah, by its very nature, can be bederech makif. Bederech makif means transcendent. Okay, maybe that's not any better than saying bederech makif. All right, so what does transcendent mean? It means like this. It means, in theory, I believe. But in practice, it's very hard to feel that way. And it's definitely hard to make behavioral choices that are aligned with that. So in the abstract, yes, of course, Hashem's the creator and everything he does is for the good. And yes, yes. But I'm having a hard time feeling aligned with that. So that's what it means. The amuna is bederech makif, that it's hovering around, so to speak. It hasn't been integrated into one's thinking. Sometimes Chassidus will cite the Talmudic expression, "Ganva pum machtarta chmona karya," that a thief is tunneling into a house to do a break-in, and he says a little prayer. Well, hold on a second. If he's a believer, as evidenced by the fact that he's davening, why is he stealing? Hashem says, do not steal. And if he's not a believer, as evidenced by the fact that he's a thief, then why does he waste time praying? Just get in, get out, and get out of there. So Chassidus explains, he is a believer, but his emunah is bederech makif. In other words, in the abstract, of course I believe in Hashem, but when the rubber hits the road and I got to really, really make a decision here, I got to do something, it's too hard to act in a way that's aligned with my beliefs. And we all understand what that means. We all understand that we have beliefs that we're not aligned with. And you could call that hypocrisy. I suppose that's a form of hypocrisy. But so this explains is basically a lack of integration. And the goal is to integrate one's behaviors, emotions, intellect, and faith. And I say that specifically in that order, behaviors being the most external manifestation of the person, the emotions being behind the behaviors and the engine that drives them, and then the intellect being behind the emotions, which the intellect gives birth to the emotions, and then on the deepest level is the emunah, the beliefs. So the Rebbe says, yeah, all yidden am aminim b'nei aminim. I know that you already have faith just because you're Jewish, but I'm talking about the kind of faith that is aligned with your thinking, that on a conscious level, you're not just believing in God, you're thinking the way a person who believes in God ought to think. Now, what does that mean? That I was going to say a little bit more clearly. Zois emeres, this means to say, shebechol me'eda ve'inyin, that in every incident and in everything, you should seek out, you should search the divine providence that's in it. So what does it mean that your emuna has become integrated into your thought pattern? It means that you cannot have an experience and not look for some sign of divine providence in the experience that you've had. And not only that you can't avoid looking for it, but the Rebbe is going to describe the urgency with which you look for it. In spite of the concealment that nature places over the design, the creation is an inherent concealment which masks creator. It appears to operate independently. It appears to have its own life, its own existence. But a person of faith is going to overcome those appearances, and he's going to earnestly search for the sign of divine orchestration in everything that happens to him. Ve'yeda borer, and he's going to know clearly. Asher kol zman shalei matzen nekudas hashgacha pratis, that as long as he doesn't find the sign of divine providence, adayin eino yedea inyan v'hama'ira lamitase, that means he still doesn't understand the truth of what happened. Meaning, you can describe something as an event, but until you can tell it as a story about God's involvement, God's specific, conscious, directed involvement in your life, then you don't really understand what happened. That's what a person whose emunah is integrated into his thought patterns is going to live like. Va'ad kedei kach, and this is to such an extent, she'eh choser b'sfias retzeinai, he's not going to be satisfied. I would almost translate this as, it will disturb him. I think Sichas in English translated it frustration. He'll be frustrated. I like that. That's good too. Shematzav nafshi zeh. This state of this mood, basically, that I was describing a guy who has an experience, and he's looking for the Hashgacha Pratis in the experience, and he can't find it, and it disturbs him. It really perturbs him that he can't find the Hashgacha Pratis. So the Rebbe says that that type of state of mind, Heichocha Hashem unosehi bimluya, that's a proof that his faith is full, meaning it's intact, it's robust. And that it's not just makif, like we explained earlier, meaning transcendent, meaning it lacks integration, or chelki, meaning partially, meaning he picks and chooses. In this area of life, I believe in God. In this area of life, I'm on my own. I got to look out for myself, right? That would be oifen chelki. Even though, obviously, even if he doesn't have this quality that we just described, meaning he can have an experience and not find the Hashgacha Pratis and it doesn't keep him up at night, so obviously he's still in the category of Maminim B'nei Maminim. That doesn't change the fact that intrinsically, latently, deep down, he's still a believer, but when the belief is well integrated into his consciousness, it's going to affect him in a way that he will be disturbed when he doesn't find the Hashgacha Pratis in his life. And what I'm about to tell you is pure conjecture. I have no way of knowing if this is what the Rebbe meant for this person. And I actually don't know if this is what the Rebbe is implying from these words, but something tells me that the Rebbe is—it's more than a limud zchus. A limud zchus means an exonerating argument, finding a silver lining, but it's more than that. What is the Rebbe saying essentially here? He's saying that a person who's looking for divine order in life, and he's coming up short. He's not seeing it. Life is appearing random to him. And therefore, he's upset. He's upset. Why is the world so random and chaotic? Where is God? The Rebbe is responding and saying, wow, look at your faith. That's faith. Because it means your supposition is that Hashgacha Pratis should be readily apparent in every aspect of life. And the fact that it's not is something unconscionable to you. In other words, if you were able to have an experience and not find the Hashgacha Pratis in that experience and be like, no, you know, just shrug it off. What do you expect? Yeah, the world is kind of random. That would be a lack of faith. But the fact that you're having an experience and you cannot reconcile that with the fact that God is running the world and it's bothering you. Wow, what faith. That's what I think that Rebbe is saying. So it's sort of a reversal of a paradigm that, somebody who has faith suffers in silence and maybe even is oblivious to their discomfort. And that's what faith is. Faith is you just roll with things. And perhaps that is one definition of faith. But over here, the Rebbe is saying, actually, the guy who's bothered when he doesn't see Taiva Nirva Nigla, the Rebbe doesn't use those words here, but the Rebbe uses them in plenty of other places. The guy who's bothered when he doesn't see revealed good in life, that's a maimon, because the very fact that bothers him means he expects that it should be the case. He expects that God should always be revealed in life. You hear what the Rebbe's saying? Good stuff. Powerful stuff. Okay. There's a clear directive of our sages concerning the above. And Vohoye Amunas Itecha Vagaimet. They comment on the verse, and the faith of your times. Emunazeh Seder Zroim. What is the faith of your times? It is the Mishnaic section or order of agricultural laws. That's what our sages say. Our sages say that faith in Hashem's times means agricultural laws. What does that mean, pray tell? It means, and this is a Yerushalmi that's brought in Tosfos. It means Amuna zeh seder zroim shemaimin bechai hoilamim vezeireya. He believes in the life of the worlds, meaning God, and therefore he plants. Right. Yerushalmi huva b'teisves Shabbos lamed aleph aleph. Sheperushay. That means shafilo b'inyan nazriya. That even when it comes to something so literally earthly as planting seeds in the ground, he does not rely on the laws of nature. Everyone knows you put seeds in the ground, you water them, they grow. No, that's not why he put seeds in the ground, but rather, ach verak, only because he believes in the life of the worlds, meaning in God. He believes in God. That is the only thing that he relies on when he takes perfectly nice, good seeds and throws them in the dirt and expects them to grow. Why would you take perfectly good seeds and throw them in the dirt? Well, the world will tell you, because that's a natural thing to do, and the seeds will grow, and they'll have plants, and they'll have many more seeds, and they'll you'll have a whole crop from throwing those seeds in the dirt. That's what the world says. The Jew says, you know, it is a crazy thing. And just because that's what, quote-unquote, nature dictates, and just because that's what has happened every season for thousands of years, that's not why we do it. It's a crazy thing to take perfectly good seeds and throw them in the ground. You know why we do it? Because we believe in God. Because God told us that if we work, he's going to bless the handiwork that we put, that when we put forth effort, and that's why I'm doing it. Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't do it. But I've got a contract here with God, and I'm expecting miracles. Yeah, those miracles will not be recognized as miracles by the world, because they'll say it's just nature that makes seeds grow. But I know the truth that these are miracles. Okay, so this is what the Rebbe is saying, that basically a Jew knows that everything's a miracle. And he actually expects to be able to figure out the miracle in everything that happens to him. And when he doesn't, or when he hasn't yet figured out the miracle, it bothers him. Okay. Vad kama amitas hi hamuna hanau. Now, the validity of this amuna, of this belief, can be seen, moven, it's understood, Gam kein mimei Purim, from the days of Purim, shezeata bono mehem, that we're just coming out of right now. Remember, this letter was written Yotes Adar Sheni, so it's 5 days after Purim. Shelechera Hatzalas Yisrael, that seemingly the salvation of the Jewish people in the Purim story was totally natural. There was no splitting of any seas, no 10 plagues. It was totally natural. Ayidei Shabbas Yisrael Haisa Ishtei Shalamelech HaMelech Bekippa. basically, we had a Jewish girl who was married to the dictator of the world. So that's a very natural way for things to transpire. V'chol zeh nechshav zeh mehanisim hachi gedelim ad shekavu lezeh yeim tev bifnei atzmei. And yet, we Jews consider the Purim story one of the greatest miracles, and we make a whole day of celebration based on that. Birkas she'os hanisim, and on that day, we recite the blessing, thanking God for his miracles, ad hayem hazeh, until this very day. So you see a story that seems as natural as the Purim story, where there are no overt miracles, but we look at it as a miracle and we celebrate that until this very day. V'afilo maseches b'fnei atzma, and even, this is a very interesting point, the Rebbe says that there is a Talmudic tractate of it's called Megillah, which is dedicated specifically to Purim. Av shalei zoch lezeh neis Chanukah, the Chanukah miracle, which is more supernatural, did not have an entire Talmudic tractate devoted to it as a subject. It's an interesting thing. There are many explanations, by the way, of why that is. We're over time already, so I'm not going to get into that. Especially, I am not sure exactly in context why the Rebbe is saying this. But the point, at least the simple point that I can understand here, the Rebbe is saying, look, we're just coming out of Purim. Purim is a celebration of how God's hand can appear hidden, but Jews have a knack for decoding the mystery and seeing how it's really all pretty clearly divinely orchestrated. And that's how we have to live. And yeah, a person who doesn't see that in his life is rightfully perturbed. With esteem and blessing for that you should report good things in all the above mentioned. Esteem and blessing for reporting good news and everything that was mentioned. Okay, that's our letter. Sorry we went a little bit late. And we'll see you tomorrow night.